moms. We're glad you're here. Happy Mother's Day. Make your day, hope your day is so blessed today. Hope everything that you expect today is so much better than your expectations. So, good morning. I'm so excited. I have a word this morning. It's about a mom. It's about a mother, but it's not necessarily just for moms. Okay, I tried to come up with a really good word just for moms, but then I thought I'll alienate half the room if I just. So I had to kind of be big. So, let's pray. I have to get back in the anointing, or it'll just go sideways fast. Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, that your word brings us life. Father, and without it, we are nothing but mere men. So, Father, this morning, I thank you that as your word goes out, Father, that you will perform signs and wonders and miracles, that you will change lives, that you will cause it to settle, you will cause the love of God, the peace of God, and the grace of God to be evident in every person in this room, online, on demand, in any place that hear it, God, that you will go ahead and cause change to happen in our lives by the word of God, by the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to talk about Mary. And it's interesting, I started looking at some of this, and the best part about Mary is that we get a good visual of Mary, that she's just a regular person. She doesn't do everything right, and she doesn't do everything wrong. She's just scripture. There's not a lot of scripture, but there's just enough to know that Mary is normal. Right? She's just a regular person. You know, she's just a regular person. She's just about doing her stuff, and her life gets messed up because God comes in the midst of it. And don't you sometimes feel that way? Okay, thank you. Marilyn feels that way. So we're going to start in Luke chapter 1, verse 45. And it says, "Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told to her from the Lord." Now that's right after the angel shows up. Okay? So that word believed means to have faith in or unto or with respect to the person or thing to entrust, especially spiritual well-being in Christ. Believe, commit, and trust. Okay? So that word believe is that Mary is entrusting. She's got an entrusting that what was said is going to happen. Okay? And the word fulfillment means completion of prophecy, verification, absolution, and perfection and performance. So Mary's believing that what was spoken will be completed. So that's Mary's first encounter. She connects, this angel comes, she kind of has the dialogue, and at the end she's saying, okay, I believe that what you said, you can do. Isn't that kind of how we all start our walk when we meet Jesus? We start off by saying, "What if this is really real, then you can do it," right? That's what I said. That was what I said the day I got saved. I said, "God, if you're really real, then I'll do this because you can do all that man up there in the altar is telling me. You can do all of it." That's how we all came into the kingdom, because we believed. Something was bigger, greater, and had a bigger expanse than what we were currently in. Right? And that's what happened to Mary. She believed. So her first encounter was to believe that God was able to complete that which he said he was going to do. Okay? Let's look on. Luke chapter 2, verse 19. And it says, "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." Okay? Now that's right after the birth, right after the angels meet the shepherds. The shepherds show up right in the midst of the first night celebration of Mary and Joseph in the manger with the cows and the rest of the animals around. That's what her next thought is, okay? Is that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. That word kept, okay, means to keep closely together, to conserve from ruins, to mentally, to remember, and to obey, to observe, to preserve. And that word preserve is like, it's the same word that's in Luke chapter 5, 30, 38, that says you take wine and you put it in new bottles so that it will preserve it. Okay? So Mary is now keeping, kept. She's kept these things. It's like, it's like the preserving of wine. Okay, that's how it's kept. We all know wine, you take it and it goes in a basement. It goes someplace. So it's just kept, it's held, it's in that spot, okay? The word thing, Mary kept all these things, that word is rhema, okay? So what she received that night was rhema. It was of God, okay? It wasn't just, she wasn't just a spectator. She was involved in it. God was in the midst of it, and she recognized that God was in the midst of it, okay? And then this word, ponder. She pondered all these things in her heart. That word is sambalo, okay? And it's two words. But the combination of the words means to convey, to consult, to dispute, to consider, to aid, to join, attack, confer, encounter, help, make, meet, and ponder. But see, that doesn't really help me. So I went and looked at what the two root words mean, okay? Because it's a compound word. And the word for the sum means to denote union with or together by association, companionship, process, to possess, like possession. Okay, so she pondered. She had a connection, a relationship, a companionship with these words. Okay, and then the word balo. Okay. Now this word is great because when you put them together, it's balo. It means to throw in various applications, more or less violence or intensity, to arise, to cast out like dung, okay, to throw it away, okay, to lie, to lay, to pour, to put up, to send, to strike, to throw down, or to thrust, okay. So here's Mary. She's pondering these words. She's keeping them. They're preserving. There's a preserving factor of these words that she's holding on to. But this word is not only it's like a companion, it's something close to her, but it's something violent. Okay? See, it's not just like, it's not an inactivity in her soul. It's not a mind thing. It is this thing that's inside of her now that she's trying to keep. Okay, that is now much more active, much more violent, intense, okay, than just like the word. Okay, how many when you first started hearing, when you first got a prophecy, when you first saw a vision, when God gave you something, you were kind of like, you believe that God was able. Okay, but then that word didn't just stay that God was able, it started to really kind of mess up your life. Yeah. Right? Anybody? Yeah. Right? See, the word of God is active. It'll come in and it will take over. It doesn't know anything but to just take over. And what it's taking over is your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions. Your spirit doesn't need to be taken over. Spirit's already over. Right? It doesn't need to be taken over. It's already over. It's there. You got to get the rest of you over there. Okay, so that's where Mary's at. She's like, okay, so I believe the angel. The angel brought me to Bethlehem, not where I really thought this was going. Then all of a sudden, angels, shepherds, cows, and goats, and this is all happening in this word is now just kind of just like, how did I get here? It's just messing up from the inside out. Okay? So let's go on. Luke chapter 2, verse 49. It says, and this is Jesus. Now remember, between verse 19 to 49, those 30 verses, Jesus has grown up and they've come into Jerusalem now. He's a young boy. Okay, and he's come, there's families come for Passover, and they've come for Passover, and the family's leaving. Now, it wasn't like they got in a car and jumped in and head out of the city. They were in a caravan, but it wasn't a Dodge. Okay, there was a bunch of people, okay, and they all traveled together for safety. So they get a day and a half from Jerusalem, okay, and Mary and Joseph realize, where's Jesus? And so they start taking a head count. Uncle Billy's here, and Tommy's here, and they just all of a sudden they realize there's no Jesus. They get everybody looking, they stop the bus, and they realize there's no Jesus. So they head back to town. Okay? Here's how it starts. And they find him in the temple. We all know the story, right? But just think for a moment. Think about Mary and Joseph. I lost one of my kids in a department store. You know, hiding in the under the jackets. You know, there's no kids. They're just playing. They just get out of. They just, you know. And I was a mess for like 5 minutes. Okay, I didn't leave them in Los Angeles or Las Vegas. Okay, and drive away and realize, where's Patrick? You know, and then have to go back. So that's the state they're in. Okay? They're not coming into the temple like, oh, wonder if Jesus is in the temple. Okay? They're frantic. And they come in. And here's his response. And he said to them, why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business? But they did not understand. Gee, I wonder why they didn't understand. It should say there, they really didn't hear him. They just grabbed him by the neck and said, get over here. They did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. Then he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was subject to them. But his mother, not his father, his mother, kept these things in her heart. Now, interesting, that word understand, okay? That also starts as a compound word, and it's still the same word soon, okay? It means it denotes union with togetherness, association, companion, resemblance, and possession. Okay, it's the same exact root word as ponder, okay? But the second word is haimi, and it means to put together mentally, to act piously, to consider, understand, or be wise. The word statement is rhema. They did not understand the rhema, okay? Did not understand what Jesus was speaking. So Mary has gone from this pondering, trying to hold on to this active word, to just mentally understanding what's going on. Okay? She's going from this activeness to now trying to just, I don't get it. Now, I don't know about you, and you don't have to show your hands. I've done that lots of times. I've been in services going, what are you doing? I don't have a clue where this is going. That's probably what I'm thinking right now. Right? Because that's Holy Spirit. That's you're talking about Jesus coming now from coming, starting to come into his own, starting to have an awakening. And the first thing he looks at is his mom and dad and says, what are you looking for me for? It's about my dad's business. And Joseph's probably sitting there going, you're not making anything out of wood. Son, we're carpenters. Right? So there's a change in this time. They're getting farther and farther from that original word, God, that you're able to complete this. Okay? And the further you get from it, I don't know about you, but the further I get from it, the harder it is for me to just go, God, you're able. Because now Mary's like trying to figure it out here, understanding. But here's what's really cool. Jesus, he hasn't started his ministry. We don't even know really, we don't really know where he is. We have to make an assumption of some kind that, this is my assumption, that Jesus is looking at them when he says that. Because you know what it says? It says that Jesus went down with them back to Nazareth. And it says he was subject. Okay, now that word subject is one of my favorite words in the Bible. Not the word subject, the word that it means. It's hupotasso. Okay, hupotasso means to subordinate, to reflectively, to obey, to be put under, to submit self unto. Okay? Jesus saw that they could not handle what was being said. Okay? He, even in his boyishness, okay, he's not starting the ministry. He's got enough understanding to look at the situation going, well, they don't get it. Now see, that word hupotasso is not Ephesians chapter 6:1 that says, children, obey your parents. Okay? That word is hupakaio. Okay? Same hupa, to be under, right? We think of hupa. It's under, but it's kaio. That means to obey by authority. Okay? Jesus wasn't just saying, I'll obey you because you're my mom and dad. Okay? He was submitting, subjecting himself, making a choice to say, I will go this way with you. Subjected. Reflective. Understanding. You don't get it. I'll go with you. Not obedience. See, there's a difference. We all know we can obey and roll our eyes. Or at least roll our heart. Right? I'll do it, but you can't make me do it. I won't like doing it. Right? That's hupakaio. That's obedience. Okay? We want hupotasso. Submission. It's the difference between the yoke. The yoke that's when it gets put on an animal's back. At first they buck it in that and they're trying to get it. But when they become submitted, that's when it becomes easy to move everything forward. Okay? So Jesus seeing, you don't get it. Okay, I won't just obey. I'll submit myself. I'll subject myself to your futileness, to your mind. You don't understand. Okay? That word kept, because it says that Mary kept those things, it's not the same kept as 30 verses earlier. Okay? It's to watch thoroughly. See, she has gone from kept closely together to conserve, to keep from ruin, to preserve like wine, to keeping mentally, observe strictly, and avoiding wholly. Okay, do you see the difference? It's the same, it's still kept, The Bible says kept, and we go, oh, she kept it. No, her transition is further from the original. God is able to complete this. She's now holding it here. And I know I find myself a lot of times trying to hold God's word and what he's told me here. Okay? And that word thing, she kept these things, it's rhema. It's the same word as statement up above. So Mary's in this quandary. Mary's went from believing and understanding and trusting that he was able to complete it, was going to do it, to that kind of preservation. I've got it. I understand. God's going to do it. It's preserving her place. To holding it in her mind. But see, the word of God is active. Hebrews says that it's active and it's living. And it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And it cuts between the soul and the spirit, the bone and the marrow, the intent of the heart. So Mary's life is just in that, it's in upheaval. Okay? And the only reason I know that is because I've gone through each of those things and found myself at the end and just know that it doesn't stop just because I'm trying to keep it here. The word of God doesn't stop because you don't understand. Its intent purpose is to go on its intent purpose and bring you along, kicking and screaming, not understanding, or it'll preserve you and take you along with it. Okay? You see the difference? Because it's the word of God. It's the rhema. It's what God has spoken. It's on a mission. Okay? It will accomplish that which it was set out to do. And it will not return back to the Father void or lacking the end result. Okay? So that's the process of Mary. She's just kind of like getting swept with it. See, the word isn't kept. Okay? I've often thought, man, if I could only keep that word, if I could only do what God's asked me to do. And the more I end up keeping and doing, the more I end up here, right? Trying to figure out how I got here. What do you mean you're about your father's business? We're carpenters. You're in the temple. Did you fix the chairs? That's how I end up. But see, John 15:7 says that if you abide in me and my word, rhema, abides in you, you will ask what you desire and it shall be done for you. That word abide is to stay, to continue, to dwell, to endure, to be present, to remain, to stand and tarry. It sounds active, right? They all sound like verbs, but they're verbs of presence, of place, not of action and do, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, I can stand here all day and get nothing done. I can dwell and appear to have getting nothing done. Okay, so they're presence-based words. They're not action, they're not performance-based, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. So if you abide, the word wasn't meant to be kept. It's meant to be abided. It's meant to preserve and keep. Okay? You're getting quiet out there. Thinking. Don't think about it. Just thinking about it will get you right back where you're going. Okay. John chapter 14, 26. See, it's meant to abide. It's meant to preserve. It's meant to do it. But we're not meant to do it alone. Here's the key. It's not meant to do it alone. Anything you leave to me on itself, by itself, for any length of time, I'll probably mess up. The third law of thermodynamics? Anything left to itself will fall apart? So leave it with anybody for any length of time and it'll probably fall apart. It's not the person's fault, it's just the way life is. It's the law that's put into the world. It's going to fall apart, left without someone keeping it. It'll go there. John chapter 14, 26 says, but Jesus said, I'm sending you a helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, and he will teach you all things and bring you into remembrance of all things that I have said to you. Now, all things. Great word. I wish it was rhema. It wasn't all things, but it needs rhema. In other words, it's nothing. This is such a great word because it says all things is all, any, every, the whole, all manner of, always, any, anyone, everyone, every way, of many, no, as many as, thoroughly, whatsoever, whole, and whoever. And then after it, it says, and any derivative of. So take that and say that all means it's every person, every event, everything, every problem, every situation, every trial, every derivative of that is in your life, anything that's in the midst of it, his all means all. Okay, it's all, it's complete, it's everything. Okay? So nothing is outside of the helper, the Holy Spirit, will teach you all things. All things. So I always think of that when I get to that part, I go, oh, so that's like the Matrix. I need to fly this helicopter. And it's like, whoop, next thing you know, you can fly a helicopter. You know, but it's like that. It's just not as Hollywood. Okay? The Holy Spirit's there for you in any situation to help you by teaching you to be able to. Okay? But then it says, and he will bring to remembrance all things. That word, all things, is the same word. Okay? But remembrance, to remind quietly. Suggest to the middle voice of one or one's own memory. Okay? To put in mind, to remember, to bring to or put in remembrance. Okay, so it's Holy Spirit's job to take anything and all things that Jesus has ever spoke to you and to put it into your memory, into your mind, to remind you, to bring it back into remembrance. All things. Okay? So let's go to Mary. All the way back to God is able to perform what he said he would do. Okay? Then it gets to being trying to keep it, and it's being preserved, it's holding, but then it slides into the mind in the midst of about my Father's business. It gets lost over years of life and situation and circumstance. But Holy Spirit's job is to take it and to bring that word, to take that word, to remind you, to take it out of and put it back into your remembrance. See, it says it's in the mind. Okay, it's not in your spirit, it's in your mind. It's to bring it back into the forefront of what you're thinking about, of what you're in the midst of. Okay? Because the word is active and it's doing something. Sometimes in the midst of it doing, we get lost in it, right? Because remember, that word is violent. It's intense. It's throwing down. It's casting out. It's like tossing everything. It turns your toe. It's like trying to grab. It's like being out in a field somewhere, maybe in Nebraska or something, and seeing a horse. Not a horse that's just it's got its little saddle on and it's waiting to be ridden. And we're talking about a stallion. It's like walking up to that horse and jumping on it. Okay? The word is so active. It's like it's doing everything. It will toss you off. It will drag you through the woods and it will think no different of it. Okay, because it's violent, it's active, it's sharp, it's piercing. It will take everything you've tried to hide in your life and expose it. All for good, but it's so active, okay? So, but it's taking that word and it's bringing back. It's taking it from the, it's taking all the stuff that got lost in the trials, the tribulations, the circumstance, the situation, and bringing it right back to God's able to do this. What part of this do you have to do? God's able to fulfill it. The beginning, Mary wasn't thinking, how am I going to have a virgin birth? Right? I mean, once she settled it, once she went, okay, I've never known a man. I don't know how this is going to work out with Joseph, but settled. You got it, God. See, that's what the Holy Spirit brings you back into. It's not just remembrance of the word, but it's the moment. It's the touch. It's the thing that God has settled you in, that you were so settled in when you heard it, that it didn't matter that your life was going to be torn apart in the midst of it. It didn't matter. It didn't matter what circumstances came. It was all about what the word had spoken to you and how it had affected you at that moment. Okay? It's the effect of the word on it. That's what the Holy Spirit's bringing you back into. It's not reminding you that you're going to be a mother of Israel. Or it's not reminding you of the word itself, the rhema itself. It's reminding you of the full substance of it. It's all things in that word. Okay? See, I'm always thinking, oh, Holy Spirit, help me to remember what Jesus told me, so I can go do it. But it's not to go do, it's to remember the moment, it's to remember the essence of it, the fullness of it that said, yes. When you receive the word, you go, God, you're able to do that. Because you're in his presence. In his presence, he calls those things that are dead as though they're alive. And you go, yeah, that's great. You don't realize that you're going to have to die to be made alive. But see, in the midst of it, you come into that agreement. You come into that place and you get married. You buy in to that field. And then you don't realize it's going to go through it. Okay? But the Holy Spirit's bringing you back to the remembrance of it, to the fullness of it. Okay? A couple scriptures and we'll end. I want to stay on time. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. In him you also trusted, the Holy Spirit. In him you've also trusted after you heard the word of truth and the gospel of salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of the inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Okay, that word sealed, okay, that means to be stamped with a signet ring or a private mark, okay, for security or preservation, to keep secure and to seal up and to stop. And I went, oh, that's good. That means he put a mark on me. But if you take that word and you look at its root, the root of it, it's that word means to be fenced in, to be protected, and protection from misappropriation. It's protection from misappropriation. Right? To enclose, to block up the mind and the cognitive faculties and understanding. Okay? So he's not just sticking his little signet ring on you and going, he's mine, leave him alone. Okay? That's the seal. Like, oh, that's all good now. No, he is building up in your mind. He's fencing you in. He's blocking in your mind from misappropriation. Okay? He's securing it. He's building a secure network, a firewall, so to speak, around your mind. Okay? And in the midst of it, he's the guarantor. He's the one who's going to make sure it all happens. Okay? So that's not, oh, okay, I now have to go do something. His job is to remind you of all things, and then his job is to fence you in your mind so that your mind doesn't mess up what you're reminded of. Okay? I mean, that's the Holy Spirit's job. It's not just a seal. Okay, you're good. See, that's what I always thought. Oh, I got the signet ring. My life's okay. I'm going to make it. Yeah, you're going to make it. But the reason you're going to make it is because he's gone ahead and taken. He's going to block out. He's going to secure all of this so that when you're reminded of the word, and not just the word, not just the logos word, but the moment, the experience, the substance, the encounter with God that changed, that's what he's reminding you of. Okay? So just that word sealed is also in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20. It says, for all promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. Through us. Think about that. It's through us. It's through you that the promises are going to happen. Okay? Now, he who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us in God, who also has sealed us and given us the Holy Spirit on our heart as a guarantee. See, you're sealed. It's like in the midst of it, all this, all the promises, all those words, all that stuff is sealed. It's all fenced in, hedged in, blocked in, networked into your mind and that. And Holy Spirit is just telling you, remember that moment. Remember that moment. Remember the encounter. Okay, what was your part in the encounter? You were just there. Right? You didn't do anything. You might have been doing something that brought you closer to the moment of God, but when you receive the word, when you receive the promise, you weren't doing anything. Right? I mean, you're not doing anything. All of a sudden, God starts to speak, so I don't know about you, when God speaks, I stop. Bigger than E.F. Hutton, you better listen. So all of a sudden I'm listening, and that's usually when I'm writing it down, going, okay, God, my problem has always been I take from that and try to go do. But Holy Spirit doesn't want me to do. He just wants to remind me of the moment, of the encounter, of the relationship, of that engaged moment where God spoke to me and said it, and my agreement with it. You're able to do this. Okay. Just interesting on Mary, so I don't leave you. Acts 1:14 says that it says, and these all continued in one accord in prayer and supplications with the woman and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. They all made it to Pentecost. She was all over the map, just like me and you, all trying to figure out how to do this. Father's business, all the way to the piercing of the side, trying to get into meetings using her, you know, her Jesus business card. I know him. But she made it because the Holy Spirit kept her. See, the Word of God is not for us to keep. The Word of God keeps us. Okay? The stuff we do is what we do. Okay? It's who you are. But it's the Word, it's the Holy Spirit that keeps us. Let's stand. Father, I thank you today. I thank you today for every word you've ever spoken to us. Father, to this house corporately, Father, and to these people, all those watching online and on demand. Father, I thank you that you've given us the Holy Spirit. You've given him us, and he's teaching us all things, and he's reminding us of all things. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you that he comes so gently to hedge in, to block in, to fence in our minds so that we have the ability to remember every encounter with you, every moment, every presence, every word, syllable that you've spoken. So Holy Spirit, I ask you today to go ahead and do what your job is for all these here and all those online, that you would remind us of the words spoken about Jesus. He would remind us of what God has told us. Remind us of the moment. And Father, the faith that we had that you were fully able to complete all things that concern you. And Father, I just ask, Lord, that today, as we remember, as we remind, Lord, that we settle into the fact that you're doing it and that all things work together for good for those that are loved and called of your purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll go ahead and start prayer for the nations.